example of the kind of banter that goes on in the cockpits and cabins of cruising-type multi-hulls that are owned by very experienced sailors. Imagine yourself sitting in the main saloon of a large, very nice dragonfly-type trimaran. These are almost rocket ship-type multi-hulls, but equipped with very comfortable cruising accommodations in a boat this size, 49 feet. The folks who own it, Dennis and Celine, have 3 years of living aboard and cruising a Norman Cross trimaran in the Mediterranean. They have lived and worked in the States for a while, looking for something slightly more comfortable. They made a thorough exploration of the marketplace and found it full of almost irresistible deals on fancy used multi-hulls. And as it turned out, they've ended up with something somewhat more fancy and complex than they were looking for, but the deal was irresistible. At the time of our conversation, they had owned the boat only for a few days. They had not even really sailed it yet. And even though Dennis is an engineer, he's beginning to realize that he may be over his head with the complexity of this boat. You'll hear him talking about it. Then, after a while, we are joined by Dick and Anne, who have walked up the dock from their Maxim 38-foot catamaran, a very comfortable sailing home built in South Africa. They also have years of cruising experience, but with a very strong, intense background in multi-hull racing, starting with beach cats. Then at one point, my friend Bruce shows up. He is now the owner of my old boat, Scrimshaw, and I've been hanging out with him in the Florida Keys, awaiting the finish of the Everglades Challenge race. Now, Bruce may have done more sailing than any of the rest of us because he's a highly regarded early windsurfer champion, and he's also cruised all over the Pacific. So that's the cast of characters here, and I'm just going to throw them all together, and I hope you'll let me know what you think of it. It begins with Dennis speaking of his motivation for choosing the cruising lifestyle with his wife, Celine. Here we go.
I want to get away from the system as it is also.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
Well, that's kind of getting to something. It's not just getting away.
It ends up... The thing is this, I came to the United States and the U.S. was the choice of country for mm-hmm. me. I wasn't born an American. I chose America as my home, as my land
mm-hmm.
back in 91. But it's really not what I was dreaming of. What has become America is not what I was... What I was coming for.
Yes.
I was living at the time in Europe, and I was looking forward to find the John Wayne country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
mm-hmm.
It's not that.
Well, you won't find it in Florida. But is it America that has allowed you to prosper to the point where you can have something like this?
I think if you're willing
to work hard, you can do that anywhere. I chose America not because I could become wealthy and rich here. I'm not wealthy. I'm not rich. It's not what it is.
He asked that. Is it only America that prospect to go to this type of life, or is it all around the world, or what? What the system?
I think it's not America. Which
it's everywhere. Huh?
It's everywhere. Like that.
Uh-huh. It's not
everywhere. Europe is problematic. I mean, back in Turkey was problematic.
Such a shame what's happening.
Such a
in Turkey.
Yeah. I mean, in all around the world is something happening, and we try to live our life in a, as you say. Just a few minutes ago, back in the 60s, you know, have a vehicle that we can live our lives there, at least in the a little bit mm-hmm. far from what's all happening in the world.
Uh-huh.
also if something goes wrong. Yeah.
But it sells ads.
It's a whole process. It's 20-25 years of educating myself on life. It's books like Living in the Now and The Power of Now, and Anthony Robbins, and
who? Anthony Robbins
is a guru for self self esteem and self development.
And what's his name again?
Anthony Robbins.
Anthony Robbins.
It's just one of them. There's so many books I read and educated myself on how to live, because I was part of this life. I was going to work every day and watch TV every night on the sofa. No?
Get up and do it again.
I wanted to get away from it. And money, I don't think money is the most important thing. I think time is the most important thing. That's the most limiting thing we have. Mm-hmm. And as you age, you come to realize.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's something that Joanna and I have said to each other a lot, and that is when we went cruising with our kids, you know, they were in their early teens, we feel like we were so lucky to have done it when we did. So that we could all do it together, and so that we'd be young and strong, and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And most of it has gone for us. I mean, we're in the 50s now, and early 50s. So, what do we have got left? Maybe another 10, 15.
No,
years?
See, 30
hey,
years. You never know. Yeah.
Go for 30.
What do you say? Yeah.
Go for 30.
We're in the 60s now.
Fellas, you know, where do you start ticking off your 80s?
Well, the thing is this: you may be able to still do it in your 60s and 70s, and maybe in your 80s, but
you cannot
start off in that age. You have to start off and learn these things at an age where you can still do it.
You cannot start starting off after 70s or something.
You can't.
Like that.
Things don't mend as quickly.
Right.
I mean, the thing. When you're young, you're indestructible. Nothing, but all of a sudden, when you say, "Jesus," sprain or this broken bone, how it's not healed in just a matter of days.
Right.
6 months later, you're saying the same thing, you know. So you definitely, it's you're better off getting the ropes when you're younger, because then it makes things easier when you get older.
That's what I'm trying to say. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, I totally agree with you.
And the very idea that you guys have just owned this boat for 5 days.
Yes.
Wow, you haven't been out in there yet.
Oh,
but you
so
have
exciting.
3 years of liveaboard experience now. That's a rare combination, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful boat like this. And
well, we know just enough to know that we have to be very careful. We're gonna get the boat ready. This boat hasn't been really out sailing for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
We had the rigging checked and all that, we had the engine checked, we had a survey done.
Lines has been changed, yeah.
Just getting it ready now to go sailing again.
Yeah.
And then there is a lot of things I have to learn. I mean, I come from a really basic boat. It's a Norman Cross design, everything manual. And here you've got electric winches and stuff like that.
Yeah, we have two electric winches.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, then that means you've got to keep track of the condition of your batteries. How old are the batteries?
I know that this one has a boat thruster. The boat thruster battery was just changed. Yes.
Oh, really?
It's such a luxurious boat. It's not what I wanted, but... You know, this is all you
that
can
was
get.
A good deal. That was a good deal. I mean, you know,
yes.
I mean, we had this boat on the list.
I wanted to have a simple boat I can fix and repair. And this
we have looked all around in different boats, and this one was getting better and better with the deal and etc. So. We couldn't
say no, because you get so much for so little money.
Yeah. Just so long as you have enough left to go sailing.
Yeah. And then we said, okay. I mean, Okay, then we do it. You have to learn, Dennis, everything. And I have to do everything.
You guys are coming in green. Think of some poor dude never been out in the ocean after diving.
Yeah, at least. Well, but it's a new new.
That's the best time to be out in the ocean.
Mm-hmm. I can see better in the dark. I can see lights. You know.
It's going to be a adventurous, I believe, but at the same time, it's going to be, I hope, a very good life, enough good. You don't have to say more.
Do you have friends or crew you want to invite at times?
Well, we have friends, some sailor friends, if they can fly from Europe to here. But we are going to meet with some new friends here. We have met with Anne and Dick here. So maybe we are going to meet with them somewhere. But we have some friends.
We have a lot of people who want to come.
Yes.
But most of them are not sailors. Mm-hmm. And it's
okay if you're not going anywhere.
Probably. You don't know how they're gonna take the sea. You don't know how. I mean, there's some even little things. Using the toilet is
using the head
is something you have to teach.
Water or electricity. I mean, the system.
The head.
It's totally.
He had a friend who was chartering back in the Mediterranean. He was would charter his boat, and one day he had this couple, and the lady, she couldn't sleep in the dark. In the dark.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So she would turn on all night long the lights.
Really?
It is really a difficult thing to get a land rat onto a boat and make it work.
Yeah. So do you have any news on who's doing what? We heard Soso was coming down the way.
I called Hugh Horton, who's the land guy for Mead.
Mead Gugel.
Okay.
And he said Mead's doing well. He's on his way to checkpoint 2, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And Randy is out left hand.
He's left. Yeah.
And the big problem is all this wind is blowing away the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, we're at the finish.
26 mile walk across the bay.
So that's what Hugh said. He said Randy left. He said, but I don't know how he's going to get there.
Oh.
So Randy will figure it out, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But at the finish there at the hotel, the water. You know, the powerboat there that's never out of the water, just sitting there, it's high and dry. Yeah. So the water is all this wind
is blowing it.
Well, you know, we've had it here for the fifth day now.
Yeah.
And it's eased up. So it's still windy up there.
So you've got some small boat experience too, huh?
We're old beach cat sailors.
That's how we met.
Yeah. Really? Did you race beach cat?
Yeah.
Hot dog. That's great.
Only what happened, Jim, is over the winter, as we got older, the wetsuit shrunk. I don't know what happened.
It wasn't me.
Good. That's one way to measure time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have cream.
And gravity. And gravity.
The portions of the wetsuit went from like this to like this.
We did a bunch of Hobie racing. And my dad was one of the first, he bought one of the first Hobies up in central New York, and then the fleet resulted from, you know, the dealer and him buying the Hobie, and the fleet grew and the whole bit.
Man,
yeah,
that's real racing, boy. Remember the Hobie Hotline magazine?
Oh yeah,
they have 8 pages of regatta schedule in that magazine. River Court. Terrific amount of people learn to sail by
this
racing.
This is why we
days.
Have.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Makes you a good sailor.
Oh. You might recognize the name Bill Lee.
This
he designed the Santa Cruz 70s. He's a quite well.
I recognize the name, but that's all.
Yeah, well this known, they've left back then. He was John Marple's roommate in college. Marple's
Oh, wow. Wow.
We were friends, well, let me that's check. How I know can Bill. And anyway, Bill said when he started to design these rocket ship monohulls, he said, he still would say, anytime you think you got a fast boat, just try racing a Hobie for money.
Because the people are crazy. Yeah, it's quite a fleet and very competitive. Mm-hmm.
So how is it now that you graduated from that other level of sailing, this competition thing, you know, where it's always this, I'm gonna go out and try to beat up on everybody else.
Well, frankly, what we did is we got tired of sailing in circles and being tired of told when to get up, when to eat, when to go out and race, where to go, when to come back. I mean, we have great friends racing and everything, but and we bought an F-27, and we were doing maybe 18, 20 regattas a season.
Every weekend.
Every weekend. Wow. I mean, we were rabid.
Wow.
And,
rabid.
You know, we bought the 27. It was my dad. He had a CNC 35 up on Lake Ontario. And, I don't know, we got into the, we just were always gravitated to the multis. So we bought this 27 and we'd go for a weekend on the 27, and then we'd go to a Hobie regatta, and it became 27, Hobie, 27, because we could do our own thing, and we could be comfortable, and you could cook a meal, and we could watch a sunset, and you'd see the wildlife, and it was...
Which you don't do in Beach Cats.
Which you don't do in Beach Cats, no.
Yeah. And then we, and that, it also got to be where, you know, I mean, it was constant, we... From May till October, we'd do this, and which entailed we drove a lot.
Yeah, we did.
Then we'd go down to Jersey, from Syracuse, Jersey, New Hampshire, and so you're leaving the Jersey coast on a Sunday night, and you're trying to get through it to Philly, up the Atlantic City Expressway, and you get home at 1-2 o'clock in the morning. And my first meeting was at 6:30 in the morning, so I was a zombie for a couple of days. I mean, and then by Wednesday, he had everything washed, ready for the next regatta.
Yeah.
But after years, it just got older.
Really?
Yeah.
You did this with kids.
Yeah, well, they were grown by then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
but, yeah, so...
Geez, congratulations.
Yeah. I mean, we drove to Tampa for midwinter for the weekend.
Sailors around.
Yeah.
Right,
people be going, where are you going for the weekend? Tampa.
Tampa.
Mm-hmm. When are you leaving? Thursday. How long are you going to be there? Till Sunday. When are you going to be home? Monday evening. We do red eyes. I've driven across the country a couple times to Texas, a couple times to Florida and back.
Yeah.
I don't know.
California.
Yeah. I did I pulled a trailer with two other guys and myself. We drove a trailer full of 7 Hobie Cats with 7 masts to Santa Cruz, California. And we drove it across the country from Syracuse, New York.
Nonstop.
Me and two other guys.
Oh my gosh, that's great. What did you think of Santa Cruz? Did you have a chance to look around?
Santa Cruz is a pretty place.
That's my old Hank.
Is it really?
It's a hangout, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty, but that water's cold.
It's so cold.
And I was really good at flipping the boat.
Oh my God, I could have killed him. See, because when we met, this is my second marriage, so when we met, I was an A-Fleet crew. And Dick was still pretty much learning, more or less. And so we'd get out and in some breeze. And so anyway, normally as a crew, I would handle the jib sheet and the main traveler. And I'd be able to spill either depending on the wind conditions. Well, Dick was still learning how to get out on the wire, so every time he'd jump out on the wire, he'd pull the tiller stick, which then in turn the boat would go, meow! And it would, and I would, and no matter what I released, I couldn't release it fast enough.
I got that down pretty good.
So then he got to the point, he'd be like, okay, I'm coming out. I'm like, no, just stay there. I'll do it myself. That's a good story.
Oh, gosh, I'll tell you. We went from fleet racing to a few regattas in Syracuse, and we had the opportunity, so we skipped the rest of it and went right to the Worlds at Guadeloupe.
In Guadeloupe in 1993.
Oh, did you take your boat down there? Did
no,
they were chartered boats back then.
We flipped somebody else's boat.
So you must have been pretty good at it.
No, I was pretty bad.
At the racing. You guys must have been doing well.
We were respectable. Uh-huh. You know, we weren't.
We never got to the championship
you know,
level.
The good guys are always the guys. I call it the gift.
Yes,
Randy's got the gift.
Sounds like you have the gift for windsurfing. My son has the gift. Enrique Figueroa has the gift. All these guys have the gift. It's like an innate feel for the helm, and they know what the boat needs, and they have this, because so much in sailing, when you're first learning, is so abstract. It's like we're going to weather now, and you're like,
what the heck is the weather?
Yeah, I think it's all around me. You know, that kind of thing. But we were respectable, and we had a lot of friends, and we met a lot of people, and we had a lot of fun.
Well, let's leave it there for now. I think there are kernels of wisdom among all of this yak. And if you agree with me, let me know. I've got a lot more of this stuff. And with the help of our Patreon patrons, guys like Dick Pierce, who have really come through with a nice bundle of cash for making these trips. I'm fixing to go up north later this month to cover a very exciting marine event that I think is going to be a real waypoint in nautical history. So thanks to you listeners who are helping to make this possible. Bye-bye.